Peishu and I are very pleased to share our work with you using the International Classification of Functioning Disability and Health to examine disability measures and programs. My colleagues and I do not have any financial relationships to disclose. And our work was supported by the Social Security Administration through an interagency agreement with the National Institutes of Health and through the Intramural Research Program at NIH. So why is it important to consider using a consistent conceptual lens? And so if you look at disability prevalence rates globally, they vary quite remarkably from 1 to 20%. Those rates vary nationally as well. You can see the American Community Survey indicates 11.9%, current population survey 8.1%, and the census, 2000 census at 9.1%. So as you note, the characteristics of this population are different in the different surveys. The definition of disability is defined differently. And so what that does is it inhibits the ability to look at outcomes across disciplines, across sectors, public-private sectors, and across geography, international comparisons. We know that yes-no questions about disability tend to underreport, and that associating diagnosis with disability fails to capture functional variability. So clearly looking at diagnosis impairment doesn't tell us the whole story. This is particularly important with the passage of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act in 2010. So this act challenges us. It actually mandates that we do better with our collection of disability data and improve the quality of the data that we do collect. And in that regard, the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services recommended use of the 6 question sets from the ACS. And that those questions ask about functioning with respect to hearing, vision, memory concentration, mobility, self-care, and doing errands alone. So our research objectives were to assess the utility of ICF when applied to disability programs and measures. So we wanted to look at the proportion of ICF components. So by that, I mean body structures, body functions, activity participation, and environment, appreciating that the personal chapter or component has yet to be developed. And we wanted to look at how these components change across surveys and how those change over time. And we also wanted to look at the ICF components relative to the National Disability Program, which is the Social Security Administration program, disability program, the largest disability programs in the United States. So why use the ICF? Because it's a contemporary perspective of disability. It provides a common language for us to speak with one another, again, in different disciplines and from different geographic locations. It provides an opportunity for us to look at the different domains included in each of the components. So in other words, in the activity and participation domain, there's an extensive number of our component, there are extensive number of domains listed within that component.
So in order to test and evaluate utility of the ICF framework using the survey data, we identify questions related to disability from 5 national surveys. Most of them you probably are already familiar with, and 3 of those surveys have been conducted yearly. Only the SIP data is a panel survey, so we select the 3 panels for this project. And for the National Survey of SSI Children and Families, that was conducted between 2001 and 2002. From those questions we select, we code those keywords or concepts using the ICF 3-digit code from one of the 4 major ICF components. We apply the same approach to the SSA listing program, which includes the listings for adults and children. And the listings are criteria that SSA uses to determine if the claimants are eligible for disability benefits. Like I mentioned earlier, and Diane as well, we classify the key concepts or keywords from the survey questions into the ICF three-digit codes from the four ICF components in order to make sure the coding decisions were made consistently. We use coding guidelines. And those guidelines were based on the previous research, and we came up with some more additional guidelines from our coding exercise. We feel like that's more important. We have two coders, Diane and I, basically code the questions independently. But we met afterwards, and that was involved several months together to debate to justify why I use this code. And then if there were any discrepancies in terms of our coding results, we couldn't reconcile between ourselves. We will seek the other expert who is who had a very extensive experience in disability measurement and familiar with ICF. Then we use the finalized coding results to calculate the proportion of the ICF components across surveys and also by years. What we mean proportions, you probably feel like it's very straightforward. Yes, it is very straightforward approach. We calculate the total number of categories or codes within each of the four ICF components to which the questions were linked. And then for the denominators, we include those total number of categories or codes within each of the ICF components. We exclude those unspecified ICF codes for both numerators and denominators. We use the same approach for the SSA listings for adults and children. We calculate the number, total number, and proportion of ICF components within each body system criteria for the adults and children listings. For the body system, in terms of adults listings, we have 14 body systems. And for the children, there are 15 body systems. Again, we have two coders who examine the adult listings, and we have one coder examine the child listing. We hope that in the near future we'll complete the child listing by the other coder. This is an example of the survey question that demonstrate how we code those questions and using ICF codes. The body functions, we use ESCO, we call it, and body structure. Body function should be the B code, and body structures should be the S code, and activities and participation should be the D codes, and environmental factors is the E codes. But I have to point it out, all the D codes should be moved to the column under the activities and participation. That's a mistake. As you can see, there are two major concepts we try to code. So one is the type of aids used, and the other one is getting around. So getting around, we use the D codes. And depending on the type of assistive devices the respondent use, we use different kind of E codes. Just give you a sense of how we come up with those codes. But just keep in mind that all the D codes, if the different questions contain the same concept or same codes, we only count it once. Here's the graphic presentation of the proportion of ICF components focused on the body structures by survey and survey years. On the y-axis, that represents the proportion of the body structure captured by the questions. And then the x-axis represent the number of years of the survey conduct. We look at five surveys, but two out of five surveys contain questions related to body structures, ACS, CPS, as well as the NSCF, do not contain any questions related to body structures of the ICF component. This is another graphic presentation regarding the body structures that are captured by the survey questions. All five survey questions contain questions related to body functions. But NHIS surveys seems capture more questions as compared to the other survey in terms of body functions of the ICF component. Now you see all the variation among those surveys. All five surveys contain activities and participation component of the ICF, but they varied across year. They vary by different programs. And this graphic presentation, you can see SIP has the highest proportion of the ICF components focused on activities and participation. The last one is the environmental factors components. Two surveys, which are the NSCF as well as the CPS, contain higher proportion of the environmental factor components of the ICF.
So I've spent a lot of time coding the listings, and briefly, the listings are criteria that the SSA uses, as Paige mentioned, to determine eligibility for benefits. And so it's one step in the process. If you meet the eligibility criteria, you receive disability award. If you do not, your application continues on through the process. The listings are divided into 14 different body systems. So body system one is musculoskeletal, and I just wanted to give you an example again of the criteria and how I coded that. So criteria 1.05 is amputation. Criteria A is both hands, which I coded as a change in body structure. So in other words, if that was your health condition, that means you would meet that listings criteria and receive disability award. Criteria B, again, refers to amputation of the lower extremities and additional complications relative to use of a prosthetic device and ability to ambulate effectively. So I coded change in body structure, but also included a number of potential decodes that would be relevant to this criteria. So these are the outcomes of the adult body systems. So I'd like to bring your attention to the outcomes, which are in green, the activity participation or decodes. So what struck me initially is you will note that about six of the 14 body systems do not include any functional criteria. So that begs the question, as far as programmatic relevance, should they? The other thing that we should consider is that when the listings are updated, they're updated by body system criteria. So there is not currently a mechanism within the agency that looks across body systems. So the SSA does an amazing job pulling together experts to look at, you know, musculoskeletal conditions or body system 12, which is mental health conditions, but they don't look at how functional criteria is used across the body systems. It also brings the point where should there be other medical professionals at the table during these discussions? In addition to medical experts, should we have ancillary care specialists, such as your rehab professionals, occupational therapists, physical therapists? So those are important questions from a programmatic perspective that SSA can consider. These are the listings for children. This was particularly complex because I needed to account for variation in development. And so while the y-axis for the adult listings was, I believe, like 250, here it's 800. So, you know, I coded the listings using hundreds of the ICF codes. Again, what's remarkable is that there still are a number of body systems that do not include any functional criteria. And then we were very fortunate to have an amazing volunteer agree to code the adult listings. She coded 4 body systems. And while she was incredibly detail-oriented in her assignment of codes, what we did is, as Pace, you mentioned, for the surveys, we went back and created consensus codes. So while we ended up with more consensus codes overall, what you will notice that the proportion of activity codes between the consensus and the initial coder, which was me, is relatively similar.
So in summary, we observed some variations across surveys, even within survey across years. And for the survey in particular, we found that NHIS captures substantially more content about body structures and body functions than do other surveys. And the SIP has the more content related to the ICF activities and participation. For the NSCF and the CPS, they capture more content on the ICF environmental factors than do other surveys. So we see a lot of variation across surveys. But then we observed one particular issue. Even we can tell the differences in terms of their content coverage, but it doesn't really capture the magnitude of the content. For instance, if a question asks how difficult can you perform dressing and bathing versus do you have difficulty performing dressing and bathing? So you get different kind of responses and different information. For the adult listings, we found body system 14, which includes immune disorders, that has the most highest number of ICF activities and participation codes. For children's listing, there are different findings. The body system 112, which related to mental health disorders, and had the most content related to ICF activities and participation. So we just pondering, you know, because given the fact there are 14 or 15 body systems within the listings, but then each impairment criteria, they're may be different. So some listing has more criteria than the other body system. And as a result, we have more ICF codes for some body system versus the others. And we also observed some limitation, the level of specificity of those impairment criteria varied, and sometimes it lacked of information. As a result, if the impairment criteria is so broad, we ended up having more ICF codes included. In conclusion, we know ICF is quite useful in terms of capture the content coverage. Comparing the survey by year or by different type of surveys. But as a researcher, in particular survey researchers, we probably want to consider, are those survey questions really captured information we intend to capture? And for the listing disability determination program, we want to also consider, are those body system necessary to capture all the functional information or just some of the body systems? Well, in conclusion, ICF seems very useful, but then also needs further empirical testings. In particular, we found some of the ICF codes are overlapping each other, such as the D codes relating to seeking employment. And some questions in the survey are very broad. We have no codes that we can use. And lastly, some of the questions or criteria in the listings are so specific, which are not available in ICF codes. So thank you for your attention.